Welcome to Bring On the Mess, a show where we have real conversations about how to embrace life's messiness and how we find ways to show up and uncover our true selves. I'm Beth Ann Dorman, the CEO at For All Seasons.
And I'm Lisa Lee, the Chief Clinical Officer here at For All Seasons.
And we have not been with you all in a while because it has been a busy couple of weeks for us at the agency and just in general. And so for us today, it's Halloween. It's a fun day. My son turns 14 today, so I'm officially out of the new teenage years with my middle kid, and it's supposed to be a super fun day of trick-or-treating, and there's lots going on.
I am really excited for you guys. I had a chance to see him yesterday, and I'll tell you, one of the things that I would like to just have a quick discussion about is these boys' hairstyles.
Yes.
I mean, that's not really what our podcast is about.
Yes.
It's a little bit different than when we were growing up.
For those of you who don't know what my kids look like, both of my boys have grown their long baseball hair, is what I call it. And Jordan has super curly hair, and so when he puts a hat on, it's kind of like the round mop that you would see back in the day that just comes right out of his hat. But we also have to negotiate. The school systems do not allow the children to wear hats at school. So it's like the negotiation of, how do I keep my drip hair? That's what they call it. And actually, the kid said to me the other day, Mom, what's really important in playing sports is not how you play. It's the drip that you have on the field. And so the drip of hair is super important. So actually, I laugh all the time because I take my children to get a dusting. Not a haircut, a dusting every 3 weeks so that their hair can continue to look the way that they want it to look.
I think we could spend a whole podcast on the kid lingo because I really do giggle sometimes when I'm in therapy sessions too, and the kids will say something. I'm like, wow, I have no idea what you're talking about, but I'm sure it means something. And this is kind of, I think, what we want to talk about a little bit anyway today is a little bit about families and growing up and relationships. But before we jump into that, I guess something that coincides with it is, like, things are coming back in style, too. Mm-hmm. And, you know, perms for boys.
Brandon has three friends who have mullets that are now perms.
So there's something about, you know, when we were, I don't know about, you know, I'm 50, and so when I was growing up.
I'm not.
Yeah, you are not yet.
I'm not, by the way. Just so everybody's clear on that, yeah. I am not.
She's a youngin, 50, and, you know, sometimes I look back in the big perm hair days, and it just makes me giggle about, you know, perms. And I remember growing up and I had to have the latest styles of clothing. Yeah. And oh, God forbid if I went to Marshall's or TJ Maxx, where I love shopping there now. Uh-huh. But yeah, there's something, you know, I think what doesn't transcend time, or what transcends time, well, I'm not sure the right way to say it, but when I was growing up, middle school was hard because there's this fitting in. So whether it's my big perm or the latest clothes and who am I? And, you know, some of that gets developed with our social environment. Some of that is also how we were raised in our families.
Right. Yeah. And certainly I actually was just writing something, an op-ed for a local newspaper yesterday talking
about...
An op-ed.
What is an op-ed?
It's like an opinion.
Oh.
It's like an opinion article that you submit to the paper.
So, just for those who don't know, I'm also one of those people where I used to be super embarrassed and someone would say a big word and I'd be like, yes, I know what that means. And then afterwards, I would go look it up.
You would look it up. Uh-huh.
So now I'm just secure in myself. So, op-ed. Okay, yes. You're writing an op-ed.
I was writing an op-ed about the struggles of teenage girls in middle school, and how when I reflected back on my teenage years, it was tough, but it was a whole different tough because there wasn't social media.
Right.
I think I grew up in a comfortable middle class household. One of my very dearest friends in high school's father was the CEO of Calgon, and she lived in like this ginormous multi-million dollar home, and it didn't matter. It didn't matter. Like, nobody said, like, oh, how much was your house or how much is your car? Mm-hmm. And I find it interesting now that my kids, when I have, like, I had six boys at my house last night because today's a half a day, and so we did a little birthday sleepover. The kids were real focused in on the cost of cars, the cost of houses, like how much does this cost? How much does that cost in the conversation? And I just was reflecting back that those were never conversations that we really focused in on. It was just you went to your friends' houses and they had a bigger house than you, or, you know, they had different clothes than you. But it was never a hot topic of conversation. You just, like, we didn't know that we didn't have millions of dollars. I just never wanted for anything. I was very fortunate that my parents were comfortable, and we never wanted for anything. But I also didn't recognize the difference in the socioeconomic status that some of my friends and I had.
Yeah, I would agree with that. And I didn't grow up in a place, I mean, to add to that, that was very diverse. And so I guess what I would say is we didn't have conversations about diversity or finances. Mm-hmm. So I don't know if that's a good or bad thing. I wouldn't judge it. I just would say that when we were growing up, or at least when I was growing up, there weren't necessarily conversations mm-hmm. about it. And I would agree, like, we just kind of went to a house or not house or something like that.
Right. Yeah, yeah. And so part of that is what we want to dive in today, which is, you know, we talked about the holidays coming up, and we've talked about just different things in our world that we are noticing that feel different, and or we may identify as different as we are forming relationships with people. I've merged a family in the last year. Lisa, you're going to be merging a family at some point and kind of merging in a dating setting now, and how different our experiences are. Mm-hmm. And how, as we come upon the holidays, we've talked with you all about holidays and the stress, and we did our series last year on how to manage the holiday blues. But one of the things that we talked about yesterday and really felt like it was a good topic to bring to the podcast was how the holidays can be different because of how we've been raised and the traditions, and how sometimes it sort of halts and arrests us in that space of like, well, wait, why would we be doing that? Or why do you fold your towels that way? Because that's how my mother folded those towels.
Right,
just sort of thinking through some of those generational things.
Sue, I wonder, because you and I have had this conversation, how many other people might resonate with something like this. But when I was growing up, my mom basically did everything. She was somebody who people would be like, oh my goodness, like, she folded my clothes, she brought them upstairs. And I saw her, like, really manage the household. And I believe, just sort of through osmosis or something and witnessing that, like, I do the same thing. Like, I do that for, you know, my kids and, you know, for friends or whatever. Like, I just do. Mm-hmm. And I have been told that maybe I do a little too much.
Right.
And that it is okay to make kids responsible for, mm-hmm. I have 11 and 12-year-old, and so maybe to let them be a little bit more independent. But it's so ingrained in who I have been and what I saw growing up.
And what you love. Because I know I do the same. And last night my kids were joking. We have there's like a bunk bed set up in my kids' room, and one of the beds needed to have the clean clothes put away. And my son said to me, well, the room only gets clean when you clean it, Mom. and it was that, like, zinger reminder of you're 12 and 14, you should be cleaning your own room. But there is a joy that I get in being able to put clothes away while my boys are having a good time with their friends. And so, yes, there is that balance, but I totally resonate with that. I was very fortunate that my mom stopped working when she had us, and she was home with us until my youngest brother got into high school. And so there was a responsibility. We had chores, but there was also this caretaking that my mom has instilled. And I love being a mom, and I love being able to do those extra things. So there's a part of me that's, I don't want them to be independent because I want them to always have to come home to my house and do their laundry and don't go to college and don't have any friends.
Just live with me forever.
Yes.
Well, and there might be people thinking, well, you sort of rob your kid of an experience. And I get that. I mean, I think that that's the funny thing about parenting is there's so many different ways. And I think that that's the point that we're trying to make, is that how we were raised really could be dependent on what our kids see, how independent versus not independent. And I always go back to, well, I think I turned out okay. I do my stuff and I put stuff away. And so I think there's definitely, my word would be balance. I think there's definitely a balance doing. And shifting to this idea of you know, holiday stuff, it's tradition for us. Like, my mom does all the cooking in the kitchen, and it really does bring her joy. And we kind of just giggle because we're not going in the kitchen with Big Con.
Don't bother Con.
She's cooking. And she really is in her element. And I remember watching growing up, my grandmothers did the same thing. Mm-hmm. And so it is very much a part of our, I don't know if it's culture or my history. And there was joy around that. But that doesn't mean that our partners or who we're dating or our spouses had the same level of joy, maybe. Mm-hmm. And so it's like trying to figure out how to negotiate, what do holidays look like, I guess?
Yeah, I think back to my first marriage, and my ex-husband always had a very quiet holiday. And we're not a quiet family where I come from. There's not like scads of us, but there's 10 or 12 of us, and we make enough noise for 50.
Right.
And so I remember our first holidays together after we got married, and it was totally out of his element. And I took for granted that he was going to enjoy it as much as I did, because it was my family. And I think it really helped me see, okay, so we started doing like an every other year where we would do a quieter holiday at his place with his family, and then the next year it would be my family. But I had to really plan, because how I celebrated holidays and what was important to me was different than how he had celebrated holidays. And we sort of laugh about it even now to this day, because there's much more chaos, I would say, in my family. But I resonate with what you're saying about your mom and how her cooking brings joy. And for me, like, there's nothing better. Thanksgiving is my favorite holiday because it's just about being together.
Yeah.
And I always laugh and I will say it again this Thanksgiving, I am sure. Like, you spend gajillions of hours for people to sit down and eat for 15 minutes, and the kids are like, can I be done? Can I be done?
Right.
I just love Thanksgiving because it's just simply about nothing more than being together with people that you love and gorging yourself and eating all those foods. But we've now, like, you think about tradition, I think back to when my grandmother was alive and she couldn't travel in her later years. And so the only way that we ever had Thanksgiving with my family was to go to, I'm from New York, and so to travel to New York. And this is the first year that my parents are going to be coming here. Mm-hmm. And we're going to be having a larger Thanksgiving at our home. But that's a shift, because the tradition was mom and dad couldn't travel because grandma needed to be close, and so you went there. And so we have to sort of think through what those traditions look like and what might feel different, because in the middle of transitioning, some of these times can be difficult because it is a new location for a holiday for the first time. And especially if people have lost loved ones or people can't be home, I think all of those play into sort of the holidays and how we have to think through and maybe plan a little bit if things are going to look a little different.
Right. You said something that really resonated with me, the idea of Thanksgiving and being together. And I believe as I have gotten older and I've come to appreciate just the gathering and the connection. And I think one tip that I would say for folks, whether, like you said, they're dealing with the loss of a loved one or blending families or something that has come up for you all, I would say that flexibility and communication and just really kind of digging in deep, like, what does this mean for me? Mm-hmm. And how can I accomplish this with whomever is in my life? We are like you. I mean, we're an Italian family and we love lots of big gatherings and we're super loud. And mm-hmm. just recognizing that that might not be for everybody. And how do we honor everybody who's going to be at that table? Because for me, the thing that's most important is exactly what you said, which is the connection and being with, whether it's Thanksgiving or another holiday or just a day, there is nothing that brings me more joy than when I see, you know, what is going to potentially be this blended family, like sitting and enjoying each other's company mm-hmm. and giggling. And it just brings this like sense of like love and connection to me. And now I think about it, why couldn't we have that all the time?
Right.
You know, why is it just every Thanksgiving? But we know that the holidays can certainly be stressful with that. But I think it's really tapping into And maybe this is what you do this holiday season, is tapping into what's important for you and being able to communicate with trusted people that thing that's important to you.
Right. Well, and as you were just thinking, as you were just talking about sort of observing the family being together and just enjoying one another's company, one of the things I think becomes really sort of a permission slip for folks is permission not to have the perfect meal.
Oh, yeah.
And permission not to have to martyr your way through the day. My friend Natalie Kogan came and spoke a couple years ago, and she's written a book called Happiness Now. And she's an amazing, if you haven't done her YouTube, gone to YouTube and seen her work, she's great, Natalie Kogan. But one of the things that she said was her grandmother used to like be in this martyr mode of like, oh my gosh, I hope you enjoy dinner because it was so long for me to prepare it. And, you know, she has always said, why don't you just not prepare as much so that you can enjoy your day? And so I think there's also that balance of, especially I say this for my own sort of need now to give myself permission. I love to have every single item at the table and every single family tradition, like my grandmother's Jell-O, my mother's squash, the baked potatoes with the skins in it. But if you pull back a little bit on that, really thinking through what is going to bring you joy in that day that isn't going to leave you so exhausted that you can't enjoy the day.
Here's what's important to me. It's not just talking with partners or family members like, hey, mom, like, don't, like, if you don't make lasagna and noodles, it's fine. Like, you don't have to do that for everybody. But it's also talking about the expectations for me. I can't speak for anyone else, but for me, around here's what's important when we go. I understand that maybe you're going to sit at the table for 10, 15 minutes, and that's okay. But when you're there, here's what I would like and why this is important to me.
Yeah. You know what? And that is a really sort of beautiful permission slip and sort of invitation for everyone to think about what the day, like what everybody needs to have a successful day. You know, I've been doing some work in the community, and I keep asking the question, like, what does success look like?
Mm-hmm.
So what does a successful day look like? For our family, it's no electronics. As soon as the call for dinner comes, everybody puts their phones away, and there is engagement, or there's an outdoor football game for the kids, or there's a movie that we watch. And some of it's about prep and planning. We start making pies the night before so that you're not trying to make pies and have dinner all at the same time. But also creating space for what people need. And I think sometimes, I don't believe you can ever talk about the holidays without talking about some of the hard conversations that might happen. And so it's also about, what do you need? So maybe you're listening and thinking, well, I need to not be with my family for 17 hours. I only need to be there for two because that's as much of bandwidth that I have. And so really thinking through, because sometimes I think we go into holidays and we all think about, I don't know if we think about it, but in our society, it's portrayed like the Hallmark. Everybody gets along. Everybody loves one another. Well, holidays can be hard and messy, too.
Right.
And so I think it's about thinking about what you need, communicating that out, and then also giving yourself permission to act on what you need and not feeling like you have to do something because you should, but maybe it's about because you want to.
Right. Well, I appreciate that point because I do think about how I grew up, and like you, I was a lucky kid. And I mean, it wasn't, you know, a perfect life, of course. I mean, there's always like messiness in it, but I was really blessed and had Sunday dinners or family all together. And it wasn't super conflict ridden. And not to say that there weren't moments of conflict, but I remember being in my mom's mom. She had this basement. They had a big jukebox. We were all sitting at tables, and just people were connecting, and everyone was kind of getting along for the most part. There wasn't major issues. But that doesn't mean that everyone had that experience. And I do remember my uncle and I, who were kind of close in age, we had our little bouts because I was a little bit stubborn. A little bit stubborn. And sometimes when he would say something, it would sort of trigger me. And so, you know, we had that, and we have a lovely relationship now because I'm older and I know how to communicate a little bit differently than being 16. But I do appreciate that because a lot of the clients that I work with, too, or even friends that I have, they don't necessarily have the same thing, and they don't go in and visit, and maybe they're not with extended family. Maybe it's just their family. I know I have two girlfriends that I'm thinking of off the top of my head. It's just them and their families, their immediate family. It's not grandparents or brothers or sisters. And so it's really important to figure out what does it look like for you? And knowing, here's the other thing that I would say, I have this image in my mind about how Thanksgiving's going to go, because it's going to be a lot bigger this year. And I'm kind of giggling, like trying to anticipate, okay, it's not going to go smooth, and that's okay, be flexible and roll with the punches. And so just kind of knowing that there's some messiness that will be involved with that.
Well, and I think that's a really great way to frame it, because sometimes it's just about adjusting our expectations for the day. And not that you need to say, I'm going to put it at the bottom of the list, this is going to be a really awful day because of X, Y, and Z, but really just being able to just give ourselves permission to live in the moment and just have the mindfulness of the day's going to play out how the day is going to play out. And maybe the ideal picture, like I'm picturing that Norman Rockwell where the guy's like putting the turkey on the table. And then I would probably, for my family, picture like someone throwing potatoes as the turkey's hitting
right,
the table.
You know? Right.
But really just being able to sort of sit in mindfulness and really be able to think through the holiday season a little bit differently, knowing that traditions may come into play. And there's also the reality, I'm sitting here as you were talking about your family and people being alone. My uncle's in Florida, my aunt passed away within the last couple of years, and sort of spurring in me, how can I make Thanksgiving special by maybe sending something to him or making sure that we place a family call. So it's also about finding those moments where you can connect with people that maybe you can't be with. And I am somebody who believes that while we were all raised, I shouldn't say all, I was raised in an environment where it was just our family. I invite anyone and everyone over for Thanksgiving and for Christmas, because at the end of the day, like, we just want our home to be a place where anybody can show up. And so it also may be about, like, hey, extending an invitation to someone who might not have extended family, and you can say, hey, why don't you come over for dessert or play games afterwards, thinking through the day like that.
Yeah, I love that, because there's so many options. And it got me thinking about a girlfriend that I talked with this weekend, and her and I have been friends since like third grade. So you can imagine third grade, that age, and 50, like that's a lot of years. And she's going through a divorce. And one of the things she said was, you know, maybe I'm not that kind of person. I was talking about somebody who was doing some really generous work in the community. And I said, perhaps you weren't allowed to be that person, or maybe you're going to grow into that person because maybe that marriage didn't allow that for you, or that relationship didn't allow that for you. And now that you're discovering yourself, it'll be different. And then she said, you know what, Lisa? She said, I, for a long time, have said to my family, hey, why don't we go serve in, like, serve food in a soup kitchen kind of thing? And I said, see, I said, it's in you. You just sort of, I don't know if gave up on, I'm not sure the right way to say that, but you just kind of put that on the back burner, but that's always in you. And so maybe it's also discovering, who do I want to be and show up in this world as? Because if you weren't doing it before, maybe you're going to have an opportunity now. And so I don't know if she'll do it, but I know that it's in her. And that's like a core, I guess, part of, or a sense of who she is.
Well, and I think that's a great reminder that some of this stuff takes practice, and just because you haven't done it all along doesn't mean you can't start. And so maybe it's the holiday time is the first time that you're going to say, hey, I'm going to participate in X.
Right.
And really making sure that you are giving that space to folks so that you can invite people along. Maybe you just go by yourself, and maybe you have the best of intentions and it doesn't work this year, but you try, because sometimes we get into that giving spirit in the holiday time, but it is something that you could do year round. And so if the holidays are not the right time, but you're sitting and thinking, huh, I could maybe do that, then maybe it's in between Thanksgiving and Christmas, or maybe it's, you know, during Hanukkah or New Year's Eve, whatever it might be.
There's an opportunity all the time,
absolutely.
What you're saying is there's always an opportunity to try something new and you experiment with it. And it's funny, I was seeing this kid yesterday and he was cracking me up. And we got to a point, he's like, okay, Miss Lisa, I will try for 1 week and just see how it goes. Right. I'm like, fantastic. Like, I can't ask you to do anything more.
Yes.
Like, you know, you're just going to experiment. And maybe that's a nugget you take out of today is maybe I'm going to try something new and see how that goes. Or maybe I'm going to look at my expectations. Or maybe I'm going to talk about my expectations.
Right. Yeah.
But there's a lot of things that this time of year could give us an opportunity to shift or do different. And then we can even take it into our life.
Mm-hmm.
We can incorporate that.
And certainly today's show is really about sort of the invitation to think about it, because sometimes we get so busy. I mean, you all know, you didn't hear our podcast as a new, fresh podcast. You know, this has been a really busy time for us. And so sometimes we roll into the holidays completely exhausted and we don't give the time and space to think about how we can recharge and how we can use the holidays as an opportunity to really think about what we need and what our family needs. So we hope today's been an opportunity for you to sort of think through what you need, your family needs, and really just an invitation to think through the holidays before they're upon us. We're grateful to be with you, and we will be back in a couple of weeks.